Hello, I'm Morgan Rhodes. My co-host Oliver Wong is away, but we'll be back next week. So today, it's just me and you are listening to Heat Rocks. Every episode, we invite a guest to join us to talk about a heat rock, you know, incendiary material, an album that feels like fire shut up in your bones. And today, we will be taking it back together to revisit a compilation album released by Abco Records called Sam Cooke, Portrait of a Legend.
If I go a million miles away, I'd write a letter each and every day. 'Cause honey, nothing can ever change this love I have for you.
What a beautiful challenge that had to have been, taking a voice like Sam Cooke's, a career like Sam Cooke's, a discography like Sam Cooke's, and a life like Sam Cooke's, and compiling 30 gems on a project. Abco Records did just this, releasing A Portrait of a Legend on June 17, 2003. The compilation, bookended by two gospel tracks, Touch the Hem of His Garment and Nearer to Thee, covers the years 1951 to 1964. From Sam's humble beginnings as one of the stars of an all-star gospel group, the Soul Stirrers, to pop sensationalism, chief crooner, to fallen star, to legend. A journey chronicled across the liner notes of Peter Goralnik. It's been said that Sam Cooke invented soul. Sure, and surely he invented the phrase, an old soul. He always looked and sounded grown, confident, worldly, and wise. Blessed with one of the greatest voices music history has known, he wrote and arranged most of what's on this album. Evidence of his many gifts, his many moments of sonic excellence, and his many hits. It seems really inappropriate to call Sam Cooke just a great singer. This was a man in possession of one of the greatest, purest instruments in contemporary music history. It charmed us like he did. He and his instrument were swoon-worthy, elegant, classic. Feel free to insert your own adjectives here. Cupid, 16, Chain Gang, Bring It On to Me, Summertime, tons and tons of hits. Abco and Sam Cooke gave us the ultimate 30 for 30, a curated look into the heart of a man born by the river in a little tent, who through his work on the mic and in the booth sent us.
Lord, you're the apple of my eye. Cherry pie. And oh yeah, your cake and ice cream.
Portrait of a Legend was the album pick of our guest today, Lee Fields. I came to know the music of Lee Fields through a song I fell in love with called Honey Dove.
Don't leave me like this. I can't go on. 'Cause my love for you, girl, is so doggone strong. And if you leave me, baby, no, I won't last for long.
The album 2009's My World was a collaboration with The Expressions, and it stayed on heavy repeat as I bounced back and forth between that song, Money is King, My World, and Love Comes and Goes. With 50 years in the business as a songwriter and artist, he is a statesman, what we call an OG, a pioneer, a journeyman, and an institution of soul. While we have classic revivalist soul record labels like Truth and Soul Records, Big Crown, Daptone, and even Ace to thank for immortalizing his music on wax, we have him to thank for the wisdom, the vulnerability, and the honesty that graces each song. He is a testament to longevity and one of the reasons that real soul music remains cool and relevant. When you mention the music and talent of Lee Fields, the words timeless and classic should be included. I was thrilled to feature his song, I'm the Man, in Dear White People for Netflix, and I am even more thrilled to have him in studio to join us today. Lee Fields, welcome to Heat Rocks.
Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you. And I want to start our conversation with reading you a quote from Aretha Franklin about Sam Cooke. She said, quote, Sam Cooke had a huge influence on me. He left the gospel field at one point and went into the secular field, and he had this huge hit You Send Me. Irma, my older sister, and I heard You Send Me on the radio while we were driving through the South one night. We had to stop the car. We got out and danced around the car out on the highway. So I guess my first question is, what was the first Sam Cooke song you remember hearing, and what was your reaction to it the first time you heard it?
The first Sam Cooke song that I remember hearing was the She Touched the Hem of His Garment.
And oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine.
When I heard the hem of his garment, I guess I was about probably 6, and everybody was playing. They were talking about this group called the Soul Stirrers, and I wonder who this group was that was causing such an interest in all of the older people that was around. They were talking about the Soul Stirrers and this guy named Sam Cooke.
Crying, oh, 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 oh.
Next thing I know, I remember he was singing another kind of music, Darling, You Send Me.
Darling, you send me. I know you send me. Darling, you send me. Honest you do, honest you do, honest you do. Whoa.
So it was like Sam Cooke was like in my face from early childhood.
This is a compilation album that you chose, Portrait of a Legend, and it covers his work from 1951 to 1964. As you know, he had well over 7 studio albums. What drew you to this particular album, or why'd you choose this one to talk about?
Because it seemed like it embodied all of his really great hits. And each and every one of these songs, to me, seems as if it couldn't get any better. And every time you listen to another one, it gets better. And until you come back around to the first one, every time you listen to Sam, it gets better and better.
I want to get into more of the discussion about this very stacked album, but I want to start at the end of the album. The last track on the compilation is a hidden one. It's a portion of Sam Cooke's interview with a DJ named Montague the Magnificent. And for those people listening that are from L.A., he was a prolific DJ, spent a lot of time pushing soul music on a radio station here called KGFJ. Earlier in the interview, he asks Sam about one of his favorite songs.
Sam, I'll tell you what I could do. I'd like for you to pick one of your tunes, one of your favorite tunes out, and you recite the first line.
That's fine.
What is your favorite record?
My favorite records is called You Were Made for Me.
What does the first line say?
A fish was made to swim in the ocean. A boat was made to sail on the sea. But sure as there are stars above, you were made for me.
You were made for me. A grape was made to grow on a vine. An apple was made to grow on a tree. As sure as there are stars above, I know you were made.
Now that's one of his favorite songs on this compilation, featured as well. And I know there are tons of songs on here, so it even seems wrong to ask, but can we start by talking about one of your favorites?
Only 16.
Mm.
When I first heard that record, it seemed like it was so innocent. I don't think no one would ever be able to recapture the emotions that he put in that song because it was so simple.
We'd laugh and we'd sing and do the 16. Little things that made my heart glow. But she was 16. Too young to fall 16. In love, and I was too young to know.
So one of the stories behind this song was that the inspiration for the song was the 16th birthday of Lou Rawls' stepsister. And the song was supposed to be originally recorded for someone else, written by Sam, but recorded by someone else. And the person that was supposed to record it didn't like the song at all. And so Sam was pretty heartbroken about it, so decided to sing it himself. So thank God he decided to sing it himself.
I would agree.
It's really innocent and sweet, and one of my favorites on the album as well. Later on in the interview, and on the same track, this DJ Montague asked Sam Cooke to define soul music.
Every day I try to describe soul. Maybe you could hum 8 bars of what soul represents.
How would you describe soul music if I pose the question to you? And also, on top of that, what makes Sam Cooke's voice so soulful?
Soul music is of the spirit. The soul is the part of humans that determine what is right and what is wrong. Soul is akin to gospel. It's like gospel first cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel is about the when and the then. And soul music is about the here and the now, but hoping that it will be pleasing to God. That's my interpretation of soul music.
What do you think it was that made Sam Cooke's voice so soulful, even in that little clip that we heard that he was asked to improvise?
I really don't know that much about his life other than his music. But it seemed to me he was a person that was really, really had belief that God is actually real.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was at war, probably, with the spiritual side of himself and the worldly side of himself. He was walking the line between worldly things and spiritual things. But he truly believed that God is real, and he knew God was watching.
The compilation starts with gospel, and it ends with gospel. It starts with Touch the Hem of His Garment, and it ends with Jesus Take the Water.
Yeah.
And in the middle, you have all of his hits. And I love the Touch of the Hem of his Garment and Jesus Gave Me Water. When I was working on the music for Selma was when I came to know the music of the Soul Stirrers. We actually used the song Last Mile of the Way.
Yeah.
If I were for Christ to proclaim the glad story, oh Lord, if I see for his sheep gone astray.
We know that a lot of artists have struggled with church worldly music versus Christian music. Marvin Gaye is one example. There's a very good scene in the documentary about Aretha Franklin, Amazing Grace, where her father comes to the pulpit and he says,
I went in the cleaners one day in Detroit to pick up some clothes. And Aretha had appeared on a recent television show. And she told me, I saw your daughter Aretha last night. I said, yes. Said, how did you like it? She said, it was all right. Said, but I'll be glad when she comes back to the church. I said, listen, baby, let me tell you something. If you want to know the truth, she has never left the church.
Would you say, or in your opinion, when we think about Sam Cooke's voice, is he a gospel artist with a side of soul, or is he a soul artist influenced by gospel?
His whole reign of his success was a gospel singer that was singing, I wouldn't call it secular music, but singing of things that people feel in the world. His songs wasn't like luring people to do the wrong thing. He sung about people feelings at the time, how you really actually feel.
I've heard that Sam Cooke was a fan of the blues. So it was nice to hear his song on here, Little Red Rooster, which is one of my favorites. It's a song originally recorded by Willie Dixon and covered by a lot of other people. But it is one of the songs, when it comes on this album, I'm so excited to hear it.
The dogs begin to bark. The hounds begin to howl. Watch out, all you kinfolk. My little red rooster's on the prowl.
I bring this song up because, in as much as people think there's such a difference between a separation between blues and gospel, this song, although it's a blues song, sounds really gospel-y to me.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I think Sam sang about the when and the then in the beginning of gospel, and then he sang about the way people actually felt. And I think, you know, it's up to different opinions. Nobody knows but God.
Right.
But I truly believe that the stuff that he sang that weren't gospel were giving people a positive feeling about themselves, because he sang about how people love each other, you know, like Frankie and Johnny.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. At least that's the way the story goes. Frankie bought everything for Johnny, from his sports car to his Ivy League clothes. Oh, he was a man, all right. Oh, but he was doing a wrong.
He's singing about reality. So people did those things and are still doing those things, still hurting each other. And he sang about Little Red Rooster. That's a metaphor of like a rooster keeping all of his. It's a pimp. Like a pimp out there, you know. He's keeping all of the chicks in place. So, but by the same token, the stories are told.
Right.
And I could play it in front of my child without having to close the door.
Sure.
Because he said it in a fashion where we know as adults what he was talking about, but children that were underage, you could play it for them. They wouldn't even know what the story is about. They were thinking a bunch of chickens, you know?
Listen, I'm grown, and I didn't know what it was about. this is news to me.
Yeah.
I had no clue, but. Yeah.
So that being said, I think if we followed his framework of how to do things, I think it would be inspirational, actually, for the youth, because if the song is great enough and the adults are around laughing and enjoying themselves about the song, then the children will become curious that actually want to know what are they saying in the record. He's singing about a rooster. but and then they are sort of being more inquisitive, and they will become smarter. So Sam, if we follow Sam's pattern and his way of doing things, I think the radio waves today will be a lot cleaner. We'll be a lot more, show a lot more courtesy. And I think it would be a lot more love in the world today. Every song that Sam Cooke made, I could play in front of my children and feel good about it.
What's one that comes to mind as we're talking about sort of the wholesomeness and stuff that you could play?
Well, any one of the songs, Chain Gang, for instance. Now, we're talking about a prison system here. We're talking about a prison system, but Sam Cooke sang about the rough things, the chain gang, and you didn't hear any vulgarity.
Right.
And you really got you really could feel the pain of those men under duress, and the pain that they was going through, just the emotions in his voice.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. Can't you hear them saying, I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home, see my woman, whom I love so dear. But meanwhile, I've got to work right here. That's the sound of the
when you hear that song, Chain Gang, you can almost feel the stress and the pain that those men were enduring. Sam format, to me, is still the musical format that I choose to take my music.
Gang, all day long they're saying, My work is so hard, give me water, I'm thirsty, my work is so hard, whoa, my.
This compilation has 30 songs, and quite a few of them are his big hits. And so although I'm familiar with a lot of the songs on this album, the ones that I remember hearing a lot or hearing people sing a lot were some of the hits, and one of my favorites is Cupid.
Yeah, that was a beautiful song, and it is a beautiful song.
Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart for me. Nobody but me. Cupid, please.
I love how he talks about love in almost a way that a child could understand.
Yeah.
He makes Cupid a figure. Cupid, hold back your bow. And I just remember hearing people sing that or hearing people hum that, hearing that on the radio. This was one of the things that I knew that would be able to be played amongst generations.
Yeah.
Don't you hear me calling you? I need you. Cupid, help me.
And it isn't that he's not talking about sensuality, relationships, but he's talking about it in a way that's so innocent and sweet. And the way his voice goes around these chords and these instruments, it receives to me as very innocent. One of the things that is the most refreshing about this compilation is there are so many songs on here. You really get to see all sides of Sam and his range. You get to see he does the up-tempo stuff. He does Twist in the Night Away. He does Shake. He does Gershwin. He does Summertime. He does the gospel hits.
Yeah.
He does ballads, You Send Me. And I guess if I had a favorite, You Send Me is one of them because it's so soft.
Yeah, but I like You Send Me. I also like Bring It On Home to Me.
Oh, sure.
You bring it to me. Bring your sweet loving, bring it all home to me.
With Lou Rawls
singing.
And very call and response and tender.
Yeah.
I think what makes these songs timeless and last forever is they harken back to a time.
Yeah.
And sometimes I try and tell my niece and nephew, like, I may not be around, but I just want to see if any of the stuff that you're listening to, you'll be able to listen to in a Walgreens or a drugstore later.
I don't think so.
Because it'll be hard walking in there with your children hearing some of the stuff that you're listening to today. Will it make you feel good? Will it last? Will they be playing it then? And so to the point that you're making, which I think is an excellent one, the way Sam was able to talk about love and relationships, as we both know, was adult content.
Yeah.
He did it in a way that wasn't offensive.
Right.
It wasn't explicit. And I think is one of the reasons why it's stood the test of time. We will be back on Heat Rocks talking about this gorgeous album, Portrait of a Legend, Sam Cooke, with our guest on Heat Rocks today, Lee Fields. Don't go anywhere.
Hello there, ghouls and gals. It is I, April Wolf. I'm here to take you through the twisty, scary, heart-pounding world of genre cinema on the exhilarating program known as Switchblade Sisters. The concept is simple. I invite a female filmmaker on each week, and we discuss their favorite genre film. Listen in closely to hear past guests like the Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, Winter's Bone director, Deborah Granick, and so many others every Thursday on MaximumFun.org. Tune in if you dare.
It's actually a very thought-provoking show that deeply explores the craft and philosophy behind the filmmaking process while also examining film through the lens of the female gaze. So, like, you should listen.
Switchblade Sisters.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one...
Weather?
One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, this song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now.
All right, and we are back on Heat Rocks talking Sam Cooke's Portrait of a Legend, the compilation album that covers 13 years of his career, 1951 to 1964, with our special guest, Lee Fields. Of the 30 songs on this album that you've chosen, Sam Cooke wrote 24 of them. Either he wrote or co-wrote.
It was amazing.
Incredible songs. So over his career, he's written over 150 songs. He's had 27 number one hits. And he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. One of my favorites, lyrically, is a song called Nothing Can Change This Love.
Yeah, I love that song as well.
But if you wanted to leave me and roam when you got back, I'd just say, welcome home. 'Cause honey, nothing can ever change this love I have for you.
Simple, sweet, and pretty. One of the songs that I was going to mention is not an original song of his. I first came to know it through Nat King Cole, and that's I Love You for Sentimental Reasons.
Yeah, oh, that was a beautiful song.
I love Nat King Cole's version. I love Sam Cooke's version of it.
You're inside, I know. And you alone were meant for. Give your loving heart to me.
A different arrangement. Obviously, Nat King Cole, more of a crooner. But this one I love because it's more approachable, I would say.
Yeah.
It feels more down home.
Yeah.
To me, almost like a little bit of a country twang. And of course, that's something that that was covered and made famous by Nat King Cole, but one of my favorites on this album.
Yeah. The songs that Sam made were songs that actually, when you hear the lyrics, it's almost like you see these characters.
Yeah.
You can see the characters. His stories not only were sounds, but his story became almost like a living vision.
What's the song, even if it's not on here, but what's the Sam Cooke song you frequently find yourself humming? What's the song when you're humming Sam Cooke, or the first song that comes to mind when you think of him most often?
Two songs. Summertime. Love Summertime.
Then you spread your wings and take to the sky. But until that morning, there is nothing can harm you. No.
And we're going back to Darling You Send Me. I sing that a lot.
At first I thought it was infatuation, but ooh, it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take.
What is it about those two?
Well, Summertime, I can actually see this farm in my head, this cotton farm. It's just like the story comes to life, the way he sing it. Because I remember back in the days where it used to be, when people in the region that I came from in North Carolina, the only thing basically was to do was put in tobacco and pick cotton, ruistic work. And that was how basically the people of color survived back in those days. So when I hear Summertime, I can see, you know, a guy laying on a porch, man, you know, chilling, you know, and he just finished a hard day's work, you know. I can feel the heat of the summer.
I'm glad you're mentioning that, because I was gonna ask you that question, because I'm not a singer, so I don't know, you know, all the things that go into, like, singing, you know, vocal arrangements, but what is it that makes Sam Cooke, the way he bodies a song, what is the lesson that he could teach other songwriters? Or what is that special thing that he does as a songwriter, as a singer, that resonates with you?
The way he sings his songs, you can visually see it. Because I know what inspires me when I sing. The songs that I sing, for the time I'm singing those songs, I'm actually living that song. Because how can I say it in a realistic way? I have to imagine myself actually being the character that I'm singing about. And Sam Cooke, when I hear Sam Cooke songs, that I can see the character. So I would assume that he became those characters. So he was a great storyteller. I think this what made Sam Cooke the great vocalist he was he was a great, great storyteller. And he knew how to express. You know, when you're a kid, you have someone to read you a story. Your mama and your daddy come into the bedroom and read you a story. And they might say, and then he had a real big, you know.
Yeah.
He had a real big sword in his hand. He couldn't even move. He was petrified. When you hear people like put drama in the way they talk.
Sure.
That makes the story more. And what'd he do, Dad? What'd he do? Well, he just went and sleeps on.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these songs are do feel like stories.
Yeah.
Sam like Cooke, Sugar Dumpling.
Yeah.
Listen while I tell you a story. A story about my girl. Now I call her Sugar Dumpling because she's the sweetest thing in this world.
Must be said about Sam Cooke that one of the things that made him really unique and interesting, especially in this time of music, was that not only was he in control of a lot of his own songs and the publishing on them, but he was opening doors and producing for other artists. He said on many, many interviews that the next phase of his career was he really wanted to open the door for younger artists, and he certainly did that. Billy Preston was one of them. Lou Rawls was another. That was his goal, that he wanted to produce for others. And I'm sure it's hard to speculate because we have lost Sam. But where do you see his career having gone had he lived? What do you think was the next logical step for him?
Well, Sam, he was very intellectual. I see Sam, if he would have lived, probably would have been some sort of a politician.
Mm.
Not only could he sing, but he could speak. He could speak well. And back at that time, seeing a man of color on TV speaking as well as he did was very rare.
There's a great interview to that point with him and Dick Clark. Dick Clark is asking him, what are his plans? What's he going to be doing?
What do you hope to do in the future? You're doing different things now, aren't you?
Yeah, well, now, Dick, I'm working mostly with other young singers, you know. Wait a minute.
Young singers... Cassius Clay is a young singer. Did you do that record?
Yes, I did. You know, not the Stand By Me. Yeah. I did the one called Hey Hey, the Gang's All Here. Yeah.
Was it fun?
It's a lot of fun because Cassius is a fun guy.
Are you ready? Am I the greatest? Hey, hey, the gang's all here. Join in the fun. Gang's all here. We're gonna swing as one more time. Hey.
Are you traveling like you used to?
No, I'm not, Dick. I'm mostly staying home now.
Were you producing and writing so far?
I'm producing and writing, as I said, for other people.
What could be the greatest thing in the world that would happen to you if you had your choice?
The greatest thing that happened to me, if all the singers I'm connected with had hits.
I will knock on wood and hope the whole thing goes.
And he famously said, talk the song. And that a song should be a conversation between people, but it should also should tap into the themes of the day. And no song does that more than Change Gonna Come.
Yeah.
Of course, we know that was released by RCA Victor in 1964, first as part of the album Ain't That Good News, and then they did it as a single.
Yeah,
Change Gonna Come is precious to me, but also precious to my father. And every time I call my father, this is what I hear.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Just like the river I've been around.
every sense.
But every time I call him, this is his ringtone. And it has been his ringtone for, I think, 10 years. And this song is precious to him, precious to everyone. Rolling Stone considers the song one of their 500 greatest songs of all time. It was selected for inclusion in the National Recording Registry. And, of course, Barack Obama quoted this song at his inaugural speech.
It's been a long time coming. But tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
For me, the song is all-encompassing, and it grabs me even before Sam starts singing. You know that it's going to be big when the chords start.
Yeah.
Even before he opens his mouth to say something as simple as, "I was born by the river." I love his version of the song. Obviously, it's the classic. It's the first. And there's a feeling that I feel every time I hear it because of what I mentioned to you, that sweeping beginning.
Yeah.
That when you hear the beginning of the song, you have no idea where it's going. But I also like two cover versions of the album by two artists that he profoundly influenced.
It's been a long time.
Song, straight gospel. That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, it was
straight gospel.
It was right out of the church.
Yep.
I went to my brother. Could you help me, please?
And then Otis Redding's.
He turned me down, and then I asked my dear mother. Oh.
I think Otis, if I would have to describe the two, each one of these artists, their emotions were beyond what ordinary artists could ever project.
Right.
But I think what Otis was a little bit raw than Sam.
Yeah.
Otis went for the natural emotions. Emotions. Sam went for the emotion, but he did it in more of a smoother pattern.
Smoother pattern.
But Otis was smooth as well, but Otis had raw emotions that he just let loose.
Yeah.
And he would get you emotionally the same way Sam would get you, but Sam had a way of just melodically connecting all of the going around the chords and in and out of the chords to a degree where he would just charm you to a point where you're at the same place that Otis took you, and Otis with raw emotions took you, but Sam did it in more of a, he was just, all of a sudden you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did it with such ease.
And class and smoothness. I always felt like Otis was like a man possessed.
Yeah.
But I love how he took over the song. And sometimes you see those performances on video. He's sweating. He's got a handkerchief. Yeah. He's sweating. Sam Cooke was debonair. Smooth.
Yeah. Although you would get to the same place, but Sam just had a way of all of a sudden you go, when you begin to ride, you wonder where you're going, and all of a sudden you're there.
Yeah.
Otis was like luring you in with his raw emotions. It was two great artists. It really, both of those two guys, man, I love both of them dearly.
It's been so long, a little too long, but the change has gotta come.
Is there a song from this album that you would cover, that you would record for an album of your own?
Of course. I probably would cover Bring It On Home to Me.
Why that one?
I believe I could really get into that song. And then I would probably cover Touch the Hem of His Garment.
Oh, yeah.
Those two. I'm not like one of those holier-than-thou guys. But it's just something that just all my life has been about the spirit, and it's been about the music that I sing. And it always come back to God. I talk about God all the time. I always have. And I don't know why. I guess because what I witness every day. And I'm wondering if there's a entity of power. Or is it just letting things just run rampant? Because it could be, the world could do so many good things, cleaning up the oceans and stuff like that, and the atmosphere. And so it's very depressing for me. And then it's always the God. It come back to the God thing. And with Sam Cooke, for instance, I would do definitely a gospel that he did.
Sure.
Because those are the kind of songs that I sing. I sing about what people do. Some, not in the way that Sam did it. No one could do it that way. Sam was the master of that.
But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying?
If you had to describe this album in three words, what would they be?
Absolutely magnificent, incredible. Those would be the three words. And if I could find something to even be more descriptive, I'd be looking for another one. Because the album is just truly greatness.
As sure as there's a heaven up above me, from you I know I'll never be free, no, no. As sure as there are stars above, I know you were made for me.
Thank you so much for picking this album, for picking this artist. We haven't had anyone come to talk to us about Sam Cooke, so thank you so much for giving us about the benefit of your experience with the song and your wisdom as a singer-songwriter yourself. Can you let everybody know what you're working on now?
We just released an album. It is called It Rains Love, which is doing very well. And at the moment, I'm touring. We just got back from Mexico City, and so it's been tour dates after tour dates. And which I'm not complaining, because that's what I'm in the business for, to stay busy. But because I enjoy performing for people, I'm really having the time of my life. And I also want to thank you for having me here today, taking your time out and having me here today. I really, really appreciate it.
I'm honored. You've been listening to Heat Rocks with me, Morgan Rhodes. Oliver Wong will be back next week. Our theme music is Crown Ones by Thess One of People Under the Stairs. Shout out to Thess for the hookup. Heat Rocks is produced by myself and Oliver Wong, alongside Christian Duenas, who also books, edits, and engineers our shows. Shout out to Christian. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher, and our executive producer is Jesse Thorne. We are part of the Maximum Fun family, taping every week live in the Westlake neighborhood of Los Angeles, where we are twisting the night away. We also want to thank our social media fans and family, including the following. Channel Subtext, who really enjoyed Jametta Rose's episode on Rufus and Chaka Khan. We also want to thank Kareen LJ at Top Stitch Girl for posting her Heat Rocks pins. I still need my pin. What's up, Jesse Thorne? We also want to shout out Hari Aluri, who enjoyed the TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool episode. Want to thank Frosty for giving us a shout out. Also want to thank Glenn Astro. Also want to thank Gregory the Ite at Driven to Drink. Peter McLennan. We also want to thank Kevin Smokler, as always. Rob Milton. Patrick Miller. We also want to thank Harold Little. Jason Woodbury is also. And Daniel Herman. We do so appreciate the Tweezies and the Retweezies. And before I get out of here, here is a teaser for next week's episode. It's writer Jeff Chang talking about the soundtrack to the 1983 cult classic, Wild Style.
You wrote, quote, Wild Style remains the only hip-hop film and soundtrack that adequately conveys the communal thrill of merging with the tide, riding the lightning, unquote. And I'm wondering...
I wrote that?
You did.
Damn, wow.
It's a good line, man. It's
fire.
Good. Yeah. You had some heaters back then.
Fire.
Yeah,
it's okay.
You got some talent with the words there, with the bars.
Might want to do something with that one day.
Yeah. I mean, 15 years later, do you still think it's true? What else comes close, if anything?
Absolutely. I think it was this thing of like finally feeling like, oh man, like I'm not the only kid in the world that there's only three of us in this theater that are under the age of 17. The other ones are probably three, four times that.
Sure.
And at the same time, we felt connected suddenly to this big thing, like this. We're not just this little pond. We're actually in this huge ocean.
Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.